I'm William O'Flaherty, and this is All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. Thanks for listening. If you follow this program very long, then you know that I don't always interview book authors, and such is the case today, as I'm chatting with a gentleman by the name of Zach Kincaid. While this is not the only thing he does, the reason Zach is a guest on the show is because of overseeing what is known as the C.S. Lewis blog, found on the publisher's website at HarperCollins for C.S. Lewis. It's accessed via cslewis.com. So the purpose of this podcast is to learn more about that resource and related elements found online. Well, welcome to the show, Zach.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, the main purpose of having you here on the show, as noted, is to focus on what's known as the C.S. Lewis blog that's on the official website of C.S. Lewis. But before we get into that, let's have you tackle how someone who has been dead for over 50 years even has a website and who runs it.
So the C.S. Lewis company is certainly involved with putting out the material, and HarperCollins has been the publisher for much of Lewis's material for some time. And I think that he is, since modernity has sort of taken over our lives and modernity has replaced Christianity for many people, Lewis has a lot to say about what that means and what faith means in this modern society and what the modern society can't fill in terms of the holes. And so I think Lewis has got a great voice into even what's going on and shaping us today. And there's others. I think the Inkling group, many of them have much to say about this problem of modernity, this problem of humanism, and the dependency on nothing else but ourselves. And so I think Lewis has got a profound voice within that mix. And that's why he's still read. That's why HarperCollins still puts his stuff out. And people buy it, whether they buy it electronically or they buy it in book form. Folks are reading it and reading Lewis and really being affected by what he says, even though it has been sometimes his death. He is, I don't think, timeless. I think he's for this time. But this time has not yet passed.
Well, now, let's go to then our main focus. But first, a disclaimer. I've had articles published on the C.S. Lewis blog previously. And as noted in the introduction, the C.S. Lewis blog is part of cslewis.com. When you go to cslewis.com, you'll see some navigational points just below where it says the official website of C.S. Lewis. And one of those is blog, and that's where you can currently find it. Well, now, so this doesn't really explain, per se, the purpose of the blog. So let's have you start with that. Give some examples and maybe some history about the blog in terms of your involvement.
So the C.S. Lewis blog is a place where originally there were a lot of folks involved, and there still are a lot of folks involved. But as we kicked it off, because I've been involved with the project since the site, the website really has taken off. And so it's been about eight and so years since we did that. And it's kind of an interesting story the way that I'm involved, because I'm more of a marketing person. And yeah, I've done some scholarship in Lewis, but I'm not the scholar of scholars here. I'm just mainly the organizer. And I have also written on the blog as well. But again, I'm more of like, okay, well, here are the 15 scholars that we're first going to go to and ask to contribute, and then we're going to go to more and see whether or not they have something to contribute. And it's all, none of it's paid. It's all free. It's all voluntary. And so it makes it an interesting kind of blog, because you do have a lot of voices that if you're in the Lewis world, you kind of recognize and to know that they've done scholarship in Lewis, they've done popular books in Lewis. And it all kind of began around the first Narnia film, just after that. And so when Lewis's popularity began to spike because of that, if you can say it that way, because of the Hollywood films, HarperCollins made an extra effort to put together this website, and that's when I came on board to really organize the blog, and I organized some of the historical facts of Lewis as well. So it's been a really great relationship.
Now, let me follow up then if there's any other aspects of history in your involvement that you want to share. And then also to pick out, although it can be kind of unfair, it's like, you know, asking a parent which child is their favorite child. You've overseen, obviously, many, many articles, but whether it be a random or a somewhat representative sample of different titles, share some about that that are especially interesting or the average reader of Lewis might find particularly useful.
So with Lewis, it's interesting because you can kind of regurgitate the same sort of thing because there's been so much writing on Lewis. And so you go into Mere Christianity and you come up with, you know, something that someone else has said time before last. And so what we try to do with the blog is we do some of that sort of surface work around Lewis. And that's really helpful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But we do try and also be a little bit more creative and involve the subjects around Lewis in ways that maybe are not as recognized as you know, your casual reader of Lewis. So we've done a few series of that. So some of that has to do with his letters. There's been a series of, like, let's look at his letters and let's look at some themes in the letters that he's writing. And since we have three volumes of letters that HarperCollins has put out, then that becomes great fodder for some connections. You know, who was he writing to? Who was this person? What kind of relationship did they have? And so that goes well beyond just Malcolm. There's a lot of people that he writes. And so there's very good material there because he was such an avid communicator by letter. So that's one series. Another is A Year with C.S. Lewis was devotional. And so we did a series where we just picked out one per month and talked about it, referenced what day that was, and tried to get people involved in looking at Lewis, not for Lewis's sake, but for the sake of devotion to Jesus. So that was a little bit of a different animal than just the scholarship portion. We've done some other things, too. I mean, when we first started the blog, it was reviews about the film, how to delve into Narnia a little bit, what that means. And even though, like, where you see the lines, you've got HarperCollins, which is like, it's called Harper One now. It used to be Harper San Francisco. They're the publishers of Lewis's material for adults. Zondervan's the publisher for C.S. Lewis Narnia. They're both part of HarperCollins, but they're sort of two separate companies, two separate reporting lines, and I'm probably getting into too much here, but Narnia, you don't see a lot of Narnia on the Lewis blog because Narnia is sort of part of what Zondervan does and is anchored somewhere else. So we do some of Narnia on the blog, but it's a little it's an interesting forum because HarperCollins is there certainly to sell the books of Lewis, but they want a rich context for that, something more than just the commercial outfit, and that's where the blog is sort of fit in, and why I've been involved in that project for so long, for some continuity and for some dialogue that's absent just by this book, here's the discount rate that you can go buy it. And so I think it's been helpful not only for the website itself, but HarperCollins proper, C.S. Lewis on Facebook's got 1.5 million or so followers. And sometimes the blogs end up there. And then certainly, as we'll talk about a bit later, the quote official Lewis group that's on Facebook that I also oversee, which is a bit of a different project, but came along at about the same time as the HarperCollins relationship.
Well, you've already mentioned something that you also oversee that's official, and that is on Facebook. There is the official C.S. Lewis group on Facebook. What can people find there? Tell us some stuff about that.
Well, first, I wanted to make sure that folks noted that the letters to Malcolm, Malcolm's fictional. I was doing that as sort of a passing bit of fun. The letters that you really, those are good. They're fictional and they bring up some great points. You won't find them in the collected letters of Lewis, who are actually written to people, and his correspondence are wonderful in just his. The way in which you can see him grow between the very early letters where he was not a believer, certainly there's growth from that point on to, I think they're letters right before he passes on. So moving on, in terms of the Facebook presence, the official, as I say, the official C.S. Lewis group on Facebook has grown exponentially. I think even in this past summer, it was around a 3,000 or so mark, and now it's up, I think we just passed 8,000. And I don't know why entirely, why there's so many folks that are chiming in. Lots of that activity is, a quote of Lewis here, a quote of Lewis there that inspires folks to press on during the day. And that is certainly a very good thing. And I'm excited for the fact that there's a place where folks can talk about and ask some questions about Lewis. Lewis is a bit of a lightning rod, though. So at times the group gets a bit divided. And I say lightning rod because Lewis is Anglican. And Anglicans aren't evangelicals of the American kind. And so what Lewis says sometimes and what you see Lewis in photos or whatever doing is sort of like, I don't know, that's not what your standard American evangelical is going to be doing. So with the Lewis Facebook page, it does get a little bit dicey sometimes because folks have varying opinions about what faith means in their life, what faith means and what the interpretation should be of Lewis. And then often there's like things from where out of the blues, and I can't really govern that. So it's really an interesting dynamic to have to shove Lewis within social media. Because again, Lewis is this person that's devoutly Anglican, and that means all the things that Anglicanism means. He has a good friend named J.R.R. Tolkien and others who are Catholic, and he reveres the Catholic faith in the umbrella of Christendom. And so you've got some things going on that I think are good. And but they challenge folks sometimes of the purely American evangelical bent. I think that's a good thing because that's what you want. You want to grow and want to uncover and unpack the corners of the gospel that maybe you haven't been in. And this is, I think, good for what Lewis brings to the table, what the Inklings as a whole, this group of seven that were combined at Wheaton College to come together, and even though that not all of them knew each other, it was it's still a good grouping of folks that then speak into this culture and say, hey, wait a second, have you thought about it this way? And have you used your imagination enough to say this might be the scope and range of what Jesus was talking about? So anyway, it's an interesting dynamic to be to put Lewis again into that social sphere of sort of loose speak social media.
Yes, and if anyone wants to take the risk of plunge in their own Facebook, we'll have a direct link in the show notes for that. Of course, if you're on Facebook, you can just do a basic search and it'll show up there, the official C.S. Lewis group, and that's on Facebook. And then obviously, we'll also have a direct link for the C.S. Lewis blog as well. Well, now, let's step back for a moment and have you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into Lewis. So, who is Zach Kincaid by day, and what's your story in relation to your reading and appreciation of C.S. Lewis?
Well, I guess I know that better than C.S. Lewis. So, I started reading C.S. Lewis young and then got reattracted to him in seminary. Chris Mitchell, who was the longtime director at the Wade Center, taught a class at Trinity, a divinity school where I went. And so Chris and I began to come together on a few things. And he actually was a reader for my thesis, master's thesis. So I spent a lot of time at the Wade Center researching, actually work in Chesterton. But if you know Chris Mitchell and if you know the Wade Center, it covers all the group of the Inklings, as I mentioned. And so it was Lewis, Chesterton, others that I was looking at as it involved imagination and what that tends to mean in terms of a guide for faith. Loosely, that's what I was doing. So that's where I got into Lewis a little bit. Then I started, I worked on something that I put together called Narnia on Tour. And I gathered 30 or so scholars from around the country that spoke at bookstores. And since there's Lewis scholars everywhere, I didn't have to fly anyone around. It was just, okay, we're going to be in Phoenix this night, and here's the Lewis scholar. We're going to be in Los Angeles this night, here's the Lewis scholar. So I was able to put together a tour. It was right around the Narnia film, the first one that came out. And so lots of folks were involved in that, names that that you would recognize as Lewis scholars. Bruce Edwards comes to mind. He did several because the late Bruce Edwards, because he flew and wanted to be involved in several different bookstores. So it was very successful. And that's where I got into working with actually Walden Media to help market the film. And from Walden Media and that relationship, I got hooked up with HarperCollins. And from that, from the HarperCollins relationship, I got into this project called cslewis.com. So I've been involved in that side of things, as well as the side of, you know, presenting papers. And usually, as you know, usually that's about Chesterton. And so I've been to several Lewis conferences and have presented on Chesterton because they're more Inkling broad. So that's a little bit about me. I mean, by day, I'm more of a marketing person and who likes a lot of good writing. And that's where Lewis fits in and wants to grow faith. If you don't mind, I'd love to just speak about a project that I'm currently involved in. And it's called workoutyourfaith.com. I'm not selling anything. It's just a website of resource. It's workoutyourfaith.com. And what I'm doing there is trying to unpack the whole of the history of those that have come before us that have contributed to what it means to be Christian. And certainly Lewis is part of that. There's lots of others that have been, as we know. But this got going because I was talking with some sixth graders who at a ministry that I work at, and they basically referenced their faith as far back as their grandmother. And this is not true. Christians have been involved in social causes and certainly martyrdom and other things that, you know, have gone back. We know this, but now let's cite some of these folks and some of these examples. So the project is presenting the person, presenting some video that I don't produce, but that's already on YouTube, and then presenting, you know, where they're from, where they've served, who they are in terms of affiliation, and introducing a quote by them and some write-up that will come later, because that's a lot of people. I think I have about 100 on the timeline now, and that'll only grow. But Lewis is part of that, and it's part of this idea of let's not be snobs about our chronology and say that we know everything now, and that's certainly a ripoff of Lewis, who says, you know, don't be chronological snobs or chronological snobbery. Don't let that impact your life, but rather look at the longer view of how God has worked and is still working in and through his world. So that's a long mention, but I think it goes very well with this idea of what Lewis speaks about and how we really need to see the shape of God's imagination through his people over the course of this time that we're in, the church age, between the time of Christ leaving and what is yet to come, and how has he worked throughout the world? And so, anyway, that's who I am. And I've got three kids, and we've been married for 20-something years. We live outside of D.C., if you want that specificity.
Well, let's take that a step further. Specific to Lewis, what books and or essays by him have you especially enjoyed the most?
I think that it ebbs and flows, and that's probably an answer that you get from others. It depends on what's going on in your life. I mean, when grief comes and problem of pain and grief observed are ones that I gravitate toward. And certainly there's others that I think about as it relates usually on how we look at God in ways that are not as conventionally minded as we've been maybe taught in doctrinal studies. And so to let God loose on our words and in our imagination in order to expose him as more than just this buttoned-down, creedal kind of God. Not to dismiss that at all, because I love, and every Sunday we say the Nicene Creed, and this is a very good thing. But then let's talk about that in ways that we can digest on a daily basis that, and I'm going to quote Chesterton here, but that we open our door and an adventure awaits us as we step out and into the world. And that's very much a Lewis thing as well. And you begin to also realize that Lewis is in this line of folks that have that are not quite mystics because they're not having visions, but they're having this relationship with God that is much richer than just battening down all the crossing of T's and the dotting of I's as some theologian types might, because Lewis would be the first to tell you he's no theologian. That's not what he's getting at. He's not getting at some systematic theology. Systematic theologies are great to a point, but you can't box in a God that makes the box. So back to specific things on Lewis, I really do at the moment love his letters and his correspondence, and I'm fascinated with the fact that he is so diligent about this correspondence. And I wonder with the people that are, you know, on foot now walking the earth and, that are, the same types of Lewis as Lewis in terms of their devotion with God, what will they leave behind for others to be influenced and to be dedicated by? Because we don't write letters like that. We don't keep correspondence or keep organization that way. Everything is much more polished, much more shaped for like a blog or for things like this, a podcast, and not so much of, you know, this is a personal correspondence with someone, some particular person, a particular soul, right? That's not mortal but immortal, and I am talking with them. And now, yes, okay, we're reading into that or on with it as we see it in the letters. So, beside his letters and the other books that I've mentioned, I mean, Abolition of Man, certainly Mere Christianity is one, and I look at Mere Christianity because I have gravitated a little bit toward Chesterton, not away from Lewis, but I read Chesterton more. You know, I look at Mere Christianity as kind of an output of what you see in Orthodoxy with Chesterton. And so it's really great to see someone who has digested Orthodoxy, has digested Everlasting Man, another of Chesterton's books, and put it into a package like Mere Christianity. And as Chris Mitchell would say, you know, you see Chesterton's a little bit bent over to the left or right, not politically, but just sort of off the path a little bit. And then Lewis comes in and puts it into a place where it can be digested by even more people and be thought of in a little bit more of a way that is organized, if you know what I mean, having read the two. So anyway, I could probably name all of Lewis's books as different strengths and the way in which they've spoken to me. But I'll end there.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and return to the main subject. Again, in summary, tell us why a reader of the works of Lewis would want to visit the C.S. Lewis blog.
The C.S. Lewis blog, I think, is a place where you can see what other scholars are thinking about. Often what they do is they take what Lewis is saying and apply it to things that are more contemporary. That doesn't always happen, but sometimes that happens. And that might guide you into some more thinking about your reading of Lewis. It's a good place to hear a lot of different voices. There's a quick kind of word tab on the side where you can see some of the emphases that have been made on variety of topics, from the Psalms to the particular books of Lewis, specifically Problem of Pain, Weight of Glory. And so you can see some of the articles that have come out with those as, tagged with those particular works. So I think it's just another way to kind of, they're short, usually they're pretty short, and we hope that they influence you into more reading and more digestion of what, not only what Lewis means, but what that means to your walk of faith. There is always that thread forward as to what is your walk with God? How has this influenced you to reimagine what the death and resurrection of Jesus is all about in your life? And how can you make that real and all the more special and part of who you are? I'm saying those with really pretty lame words, but that's the point.
All right. Well, again, we do encourage people to consider visiting the C.S. Lewis blog, which is a part of cslewis.com. We'll have a direct link in the show notes for that and other links as well that we mentioned during the show. Well, Zach, thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks goes to you for being a listener of this podcast. I'm William O'Flaherty, the producer and director of All About Jack, which is a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. My guest today again has been Zach Kincaid, and he oversees the C.S. Lewis blog over at CSLewis.com, as well as the official C.S. Lewis group on Facebook. Be sure to check out those resources, and as just noted, you can find direct links to them in the show notes. You can find the show notes either at EssentialCSLewis.com or allaboutjack.podbean.com. The Podbean location is where the audio files are hosted, and it is a little easier to find the shows there. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. The other location, EssentialCSLewis.com, provides links back to the podcast location and also includes a variety of articles related to Lewis that include a daily fact quote and quiz question related to him, along with a series examining quotations attributed to Lewis that may not be by him. I hope you enjoyed today's show enough to want to share it. Also, feel free to leave comments about the program online and consider listening to other shows. At the time this podcast is released, I have done not too many new shows for 2016, except for the fact that my 2015 two-part recap episodes came out in January. So those programs help provide a great way to learn more about the variety of podcasts I've had. Additionally, if you follow this show either on Podbean or iTunes, you may have noticed that lately I've been reposting older shows typically during the week between the official postings I do each Monday. If you don't know how to find the show on iTunes, then be sure to check the show notes for a direct link. Again, those notes can be found either at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. Finally, don't forget about my book that will be out by the end of March 2016. Or if you're listening to this later, it's already out. It's called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, A Companion and Study Guide to the Screwtape Letters. You can learn more about it by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can find out how to get a free 20-page PDF sample of the book, as well as pre-ordering or ordering it, whichever the case, if it's already out. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Thanks again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com.